Okay, good morning. Thank you all for coming. As you know, today is a special day in the Jewish calendar. Today is Lag BaOmer. It's the 33rd day of the Omer. And Lag BaOmer, we know, is kind of a pseudo, mini, sort of, kind of a little bit yontiv. And what we're going to try to discuss is exactly what the nature of Lag BaOmer is, why exactly Lag BaOmer is this kind of sort of a little bit, maybe a little bit of a yontiv, but we will get there. I just want to mention very briefly that we all probably were trained in grade school to believe that Lag BaOmer, or they taught us in grade school, that Lag BaOmer is a special day. It's an important day because it is the day of the death of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, right? And I think that's the standard approach that we have, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai passed away on Lag BaOmer, and consequently, we celebrate a bit. The source of this actually is not so simple where it comes from. If you'll look in source number 6 on the sheets, so the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef is authored by the Chidah. The Birkei Yosef writes that, he quotes from the Ramah, that on Lag BaOmer we have a bit of simcha, marbe bo ktsas simcha, and he quotes in the Magen Avraham that a certain person said nachem on Lag BaOmer v'ne'enash, and he got punished, etc. In other words, the students of the Ari quote that a certain person went to Meiron, and as his practice was every day, he would say Nachem. Right? Nachem is what we say on Tisha B'Av, that Hashem should console the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. So he said the bracha of Nachem instead of the regular bracha of Yerushalayim, and this fellow got punished. So some assume that this proves that Lag BaOmer is a yontiv, and you shouldn't say Nachim on a yontiv. However, the Sefer Yad Aharon comments, "Delo nenash amnei simchas Rashbi." Only got punished because of the happiness of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He went to Meiron. He went to the grave of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's why he got punished, because he was there. But the Chidah explains, he says, "V'lo kasha midi diyom lag laomer hu yom simchas Rashbi." In other words, he wants to say that maybe he would have been punished had he been anywhere. He was punished because he said it on Lag BaOmer. And then he quotes in the Sefer HaKavanos, Shasidir Maharash Vital. That is the Shah HaKavanos is one of the books that's written by the students of the Arizal. Vigam Kaso, the Ptiras Rashbi Haya Yom Lag LaOmer, Behu Yom Dehilula Delay, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer, and it's a day of his Hilula. Hilula is actually a weird term, no? Hilula means wedding, marriage. It doesn't mean yartzeit, death. If I'm not mistaken, and some people here will correct me, I'm sure, in Harry Potter they celebrate death days, right? But we generally don't celebrate death days, correct? A yartzeit is not... A yartzeit is a commemoration. A yartzeit, according to the actual halacha, what do you do in the yartzeit? You fast. No? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you fast on the yartzeit. Right? And the Gemara has this. The Gemara says that I am going to fast like the day my parents died, like the day my parents died, like the day my Rebbe died. That's an expression of the Gemara. You fast on the yartzeit. You don't celebrate. Now, Chassidim came up with a practice that they make what's called a tikkun on the yartzeit. A tikkun is that you bring, now you're not yotzei tikkun unless you do it the following way. You have to bring schnapps and kichel. If you don't bring schnapps and kichel, you're not yotzei, correct? But you bring schnapps and kichel, and people make brachas. The official reasoning behind that is because the person who's observing the yartzeit is supposed to be fasting, and generally, the Gemara says we should make 100 brachos every day. But if I'm fasting, that means I'm not eating. If I'm not eating, I'm missing out on a bunch of brachos. So how do I make up for the 100 brachos that I should have? I make up by having other people make a bracha, and they're motzi me with my 100 brachos, correct? So yartzeits are not happy days. yard sites are fast days. It says in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, this is one of the more difficult dinim, not to go to weddings on a yard site. A yard site only for a parent. A yard site for a sibling, this din does not apply to. But you should observe the type of aveilus, the same type of aveilus that you observe in 12 months of mourning for a parent, you observe every year on the yard site. So a yard site is not a happy day, correct? So I got a problem. We are celebrating Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a happy day. Why? Because it's a yard site, right? It don't work like that. You're not supposed to celebrate yard sites. This is a question that is asked by many Achronim, the Pri Chodosh in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tov Tzadi. Gimel asks this question. Everyone asks this question. This is a very serious problem. It becomes more compounded because someone might argue, well, okay, well, maybe a regular yard site is a sad day, but the yard site of a great Talmud Chacham, maybe that's a happy day, no? Let's just try to hold questions again as much as possible. I pause just because that's my habit. But a yard site maybe of a Talmud Chacham is a happy day. A yard site of a regular person is a sad day, perhaps. I don't know exactly what the reasoning behind this would be, but that doesn't make any sense either, no? You see, the greatest Talmud Chacham that we had in Judaism was named Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? Everyone agree? If you disagree with that, you're an apikoros, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Talmud Chacham in Judaism. He is a number one. Now, what happens on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site? Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site is Zion Adar. On Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, so there is what is called Tainis Tzadikim, no? Traditionally, the Chevra Kadisha fasts on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, right? That's the tradition? In some, yes, correct. We heard about this in Shul on Zion Adar, right? Some communities did a Chafsiv on Zion Adar, but traditionally you fast. So how come for Moshe Rabbeinu we fast, and for Shimon Bar Yochai, I guarantee that as much of a Talmud Chacham as Shimon Bar Yochai was, he was not as much of a Talmud Chacham as Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Guaranteed. And therefore, how come for Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit we fast, and Shimon Bar Yochai's Yartzeit we celebrate, we rejoice, we are happy? This is a very big problem. So now, I want to give a few suggestions to answer this question. And let's begin. The Gemara tells us, Gemara in Tumura Daf Tesvav, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so the Jewish people forgot 3,000 different halachos. There were 3,000 laws that were forgotten, b'mei Evlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and Osniel ben Kenaz came, and he returned these halachos b'populo. That's what the Gemara says. Osniel ben Kenaz, who's Kalev's kid brother, he comes, and he brings these 3,000 halachos back, but these were forgotten. That means that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, Torah was forgotten. No? 3,000 halachos are lost. And they had to be returned by Osniel ben Kenaz. So it's sad that Moshe Rabbeinu died because we lost a lot of Torah. But maybe when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, it's very happy. Because the Zohar tells us, again, I'm just about old enough to learn Zohar, but I have no interest in doing so. So this is not anything that I looked at inside. Everything I am quoting is from secondary, tertiary, and beyond sources. Right? So the basic idea is that the Zohar says that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai revealed secrets of Torah that had never been revealed beforehand, and that's why we celebrate. In other words, we're not celebrating his death, we are celebrating the secrets of Torah that were revealed that day. So that's one possibility, that ordinarily we fast on the yard site, but today we're happy, not because he died, we're happy because together with his death came the revelation of massive amounts of Torah. Perhaps there's a different explanation. I saw the Lubavitcher Rebbe in one of his sichos says as follows. The Rebbe suggests that the reason why we're happy on Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's death day, as it were, is because the expression that's given in the Pre-Eitz Chaim, in the Sefer that comes from the students of the Arizal, is that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai commanded us to be happy on his death day. And we have an obligation, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, we have an obligation to listen to what he said, and that's why we rejoice, again, a little bit, kind of, sort of, a little bit, but we rejoice on Lag BaOmer for that reason. This is also a little bit problematic, no? You see, Sviras HaOmer is a time of mourning, no? It's a period of avelos. During Svira, you don't get married. During Svira, you don't get haircuts, etc. It's a period of avelos. Let's say someone commands you not to observe avelos. What's the halacha? So, the din in Yerideya is that if a parent says, don't observe Shiva or Shloshim for me, you don't listen to the parent, no? You don't listen. But if a parent says, don't observe the avelos 12 months for me, then you listen to the parent. That's what the Shach quotes in Simin Shin Dalad Mem Sifkot and Tes. So therefore, what the Rebbe is saying, which is an interesting idea, and we'll return to it later, the reason why we listen to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai when he said that we should rejoice during Svira, even though it's a period of mourning, how come we listen to him? The answer is that we listen to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai when he said to rejoice, because the type of mourning that we have during Svira is similar to the mourning of 12 months after a person loses a parent. And by the mourning of 12 months, when the parent says, don't observe it for me, you don't do it. So here also, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, don't observe the avelos of 12 months, avelos of Svira. And that's why we listen to him. That is another explanation. So far we have two. Either Moshe Rabbeinu died and Torah was lost, but Reb Shimon Bar Yochai Torah was gained, or simply Moshe Rabbeinu didn't command that we should be happy on his death, but Reb Shimon Bar Yochai commanded that we should be happy on his death. Those are two explanations. The third explanation, I didn't give any sources for, and the third explanation is really probably the correct one, but we will have to analyze. You see, there's, I would say, a lie that we've been told, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer. It's probably not true. There is no source in Zohar. There is no source in normative Kabbalah books that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer. We have this source of the pre-Eitz Chaim, which is written by Reb Shmuel Vital, who's a student of the Arizal, actually a grand student. Reb Chaim Vital is the Arizal's main student. Reb Shmuel Vital is the son of Reb Chaim Vital. That's in the book Pre-Eitz Chaim. The amazing thing is that there are four different versions of this episode that happened when the Arizal went to Meiron on Lag BaOmer. We know the first year the Arizal was in Egypt when he came to Israel. He went to Meiron on Lag BaOmer. There are four different versions exactly of what happened. Only in one of those four versions does it say that the Arizal went to Meiron because it's the Yartzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. We do not have that in any of the other four versions. Now this is, again, like I mentioned before, I know nothing about these types of sources, but there's a great article by Avraham Yari. Avraham Yari was a scholar who actually wrote the book, The Toldos Chag Simchas Torah. The best scholarly work on Simchas Torah was written by Avraham Yari. He was a very interesting fellow. He also came out with an edition of the famous controversial work that we'll address in a few minutes called the Chemdas HaYomim. That's who Avraham Yari was, a very, very important scholar. Avraham Yari has an article in the journal Tarbitz, volume 50 of the journal Tarbitz. It's called The Toldos Hilula B'Meiron, the history of this Hilula in Meiron. And he argues as follows. Ready? I'm sorry for being what we call a mythbuster, right? But a few things. The earliest sources. Do we know that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is buried in Meiron? Oh gosh. It's scandalous to ask this question. Do we know Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is buried in Meiron? Well, the Gemara says he's buried in Meiron, so that we know. That we know, okay? Did Jews go to visit Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's grave in Meiron on Lag BaOmer? So the Arizal went once, maybe, according to one source, kind of, sort of, a little bit. Okay, one time, yes, correct. The Arizal went one time, and he cut his son's hair, that we know. But what about beforehand? Judaism didn't begin with Arizal. So we had lots of Jews who gave travel logs when they went to Israel, like Benjamin of Tudela. He's famous, right? There's streets named after him. So Benjamin of Tudela, in 1170, went and he traveled through Israel. And he tells us about all the places that he visited. And he tells us about a great town called Meiron. And you know what was so great about the town of Meiron? In the town of Meiron is the grave of Shammai and Hillel. Okay? Not Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but also important people, good Orthodox Jews, but not Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He talks about the grave of Shammai and Hillel. And he talks about how in Meiron, at the grave of Shammai and Hillel, there was a certain time of year that Jews would all come from every part of the Jewish world, even as far away as Damascus, as Damascus. Jews would travel to the grave of Shammai and Hillel, and they would pray for rain. And some years, rain would come. Okay, very nice. That is nothing about bonfires, nothing about cutting hair, nothing about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's grave is in Meiron. It's referred to in some sources, but it's like an afterthought. No one went there. No one is going to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's grave in Meiron. And Avram Yari writes at length to show that people just didn't go to the grave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meiron. The grave is there, but people did not go until the Mekubalim come to Tzfat. You see, there's this group of young Turks, pardon the expression, right? These young Kabbalists who live in Tzfat, let's say in the 1560s and onward. A great time in Jewish history. They live in Tzfat. And these Mekubalim would start going to the grave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meiron, and they would start saying passages of Zohar. But when did they go? Did they go in Lag BaOmer? No, sir. The Mekubalim, and when I talk about Mekubalim, I mean the author of the Sefer Charedim. And I'm talking about Rabbi Yosef Karo himself. Rabbi Yosef Karo himself, remember, had a nocturnal visitor called the Magid Meisharim. Right? The weird thing is, historians generally know nothing. So if you go to the library and you look at history books on Rabbi Yosef Karo, you know what you will find? An awful lot of books about the Magid, about how he had this visitor who would come, it's an angelic figure, would come at night and would tell him secrets of Torah. Rabbi Yosef Karo, for me, has nothing to do with Kabbalah. I learn Rabbi Yosef Karo probably every day of my life. Right? He's Shulchan Aruch. It's normal Judaism. But there is a book called Magid Meisharim that's out there. Again, I'm still too young to learn it, probably. The Magid Meisharim, Parshas Emor, in last week's Parsha said that Rabbi Yosef Karo himself used to go to the grave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai on Meiron, and he would say passages of Zohar. So far, so good. You know when he went? He went Erev Shavuos. Erev Shavuos is not Lag BaOmer. He also went Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's also not Lag BaOmer. So basically, what we have is, right, a tradition of Jews going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer and cutting hair in Meiron on Lag BaOmer that is not found in older sources. The Mekubalim, the time of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Radvaz writes about this, many people at the time of Rabbi Yosef Karo were upset that Jews are going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer because they say this isn't the official minhag. Right, I'm a shul rabbi. I know that people get upset when you change minhagim. Right, I've experienced this. The fact is that the Mekubalim are very upset. They're saying, "Why are you going on Lag BaOmer? This is not the right time to go." Now, Avram Yari has an interesting suggestion about how come they started going at Lag BaOmer at this same time period of the of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. People went. The Arizal himself went, by the way, 1 year. Reb Chaim Vital quotes in one of the sources that he says, "I don't know if my Rebbe knew Kabbalah yet when he went to Meiron on Lag BaOmer." Meaning to say, there was a practice, there's a mass movement of Jews going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer, but these people are going to Meiron, and the rabbis of the time, the Kabbalah rabbis, don't really like it. They are saying this isn't authentic practice. Authentic practice is to go to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's grave before Shavuos, before Rosh Hashanah, if at all. And to go on Lag BaOmer is not authentic practice. So where does it come from they went on Lag BaOmer? And where does the haircuts and where does the bonfires come from? So Avram Yari has the following suggestion. I don't know, you could take it or leave it. You see, apparently, Jews used to go to the grave of Shmuel Hanavi. Now, around this time, around the year 1570, Shmuel Hanavi's grave is pretty close to Yerushalayim, Nebi Samuel, no? You see it on the highway. It's a big, right? You can see it. You pass by. You wave. Hi, Shmua. How you doing? Right? So that's like the standard practice. So now, Shmua Hanavi, people would always go to Shmua Hanavi's grave. And this we know from Tshuvos of the Radvaz. The Radvaz is a very important figure. The Radvaz is the Rebbe of the Arizal. See, the Radvaz was around 80 years old, and he decided that he's going to die. So he left Mitzrayim, he left Egypt, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he figured, I'm going to retire here, and then I'll die in peace, no problem. His bad luck, he moved to a small city in Eretz Yisrael called Tzfat. At the same time, there's all these young whippersnappers around, and they seek him out, and they ask him lots of questions in halacha and in learning, and he becomes the Rebbe of the Arizal and the Rebbe of many of this generation of Mekubalim. Now, the Radvaz is a halachist. He's pure halacha. He's a classic, right? He's a classic halachist, and he's the Rebbe of the Arizal. The Radvaz also died at age 110. It should happen to all of us, right? He dies at age 110, so he was the Rebbe of the Arizal for around 30 years. Well, right? The Arizal died very young. The Arizal died in his 40s. He wasn't the Rebbe of the Arizal 40 years, but he taught many people in Tzfat for the last 30 years of his life, and he just planned on retiring and taking it easy. Okay? Again, it should happen to all of us. But the fact is that the Radvaz has tshuvas about, in the year 1570, we have dates on this, Jews are complaining. They say, we can't go to the grave of Shmuel Hanavi to cut our son's hair. Right? Again, there's a practice of upsherin that you do around your son's third bar mitzvah. We can't go to Shmuel Hanavi's grave around to cut our son's hair because the Arabs won't let us in. So what should we do if we already promised that the weight of our son's hair will go to tzedakah for that shul by Kever Shmuel Hanavi? What do we do about that neder, about that vow that we took? That's the shaila in the Radvaz. So Radvaz says the neder is binding and you have to hold the money until they allow us to go in. That's all we know from the Radvaz. But a historian looks at that tshuva and the historian says, one second, that means in the year 1570, Jews are not allowed to go to the grave of Shmuel Hanavi where they used to cut hair. Around that same time, we start seeing people going to Meiron to cut hair. Right? Now, Shmuel Hanavi's yard site is not exactly Lag BaOmer, pretty close to Lag BaOmer. Shmuel Hanavi's yard site, I think, will be the 42nd day of the Omer. It's around 10 days off. But what happened was, people wanted to reenact this practice. They used to go to the grave of Shmuel Hanavi. They wanted to have something to represent this practice. So they decided to go to Meiron, to Shimon Bar Yochai. It's pretty, similar type of idea. And that's where cutting the hair came in. That's basically what you see. The original practices involving Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had something to do with water, not fire. The fire probably came later as part of the Kabbalah and the influence of Kabbalah. So in terms of the history of Lag BaOmer, this is just what I found in terms of the history from this article of Avram Yari. There's a great shiur on YU Torah by Dr. Schneier Lyman, where he goes through some of the issues on the history of Lag BaOmer. He does not quote this article, which is surprising. I like this article a lot better than everything he quoted, but what they say is like, Makom hinicholonim in hashamayim, that they allow us to say ideas that I don't think people have said before on YU Torah. Okay, so far so good. So what is the real reason for Lag BaOmer? Lag BaOmer doesn't have to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, because we don't know that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai really died on Lag BaOmer, and the Chidah himself, even though the Chidah in the Sefer Birkei Yosef quotes that Lag BaOmer is the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but the Chidah in his later books, in the Ma'ariv Be'etzva, the Chidah, you see, was a mesholach. Right? He was raising money for yeshivas in Israel. And as he's traveling through Europe, he was going to different libraries, and he was picking up various manuscripts and copying them over, etc. Much of what we have in terms of many of the Shita Mekubetzes and Masechtos comes from the Chidah. The Chidah was a very, very interesting figure. The Chidah in his Sefer Ma'ariv Be'etzva quotes that he found later books of, or other books of students of the Arizal that make no reference to Lag BaOmer as the Yortzeit or Rishon Bar Yochai. And he says that he thinks that maybe what's written in the Pre-Eitz Chaim is a Talus HaDafus, is a mistake. That's what the Chidah says. So again, so I'm not the one who is bursting this bubble. The Chidah already burst the bubble that maybe Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did not die on Lag BaOmer. Chacham Avadya Yosef, in one of his tshuvas in Chelak Hei Yevichavadah Siman Lamed Hei, Chacham Avadya points out that you have to say that this book creates Chaim is a mistake, because in another place, or there are mistakes that crept in, I should say it like that, in another place in the Pre-Eitz Chaim, it says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the one student of Rabbi Akiva who did not die during Sfira. Remember, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, and they all died during Sfira, and that's why we mourn during this time period. Right? That's one. That's the basic reason for mourning, as is written in the Gemara. But says the Pre-Eitz Chaim that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is the one student of Rabbi Akiva who did not die. The simple reading of the Gemara is not like that. The simple reading of the Gemara is that all the students of Rabbi Akiva died, and after all of his students died, he went and he was ma'amid, he established 5 new students. Right? The Gemara says on the Pasuk Baboker, Zerayas Zarecha, V'lo Erev Al Tanach Yadecha, that you should plant your fields in the morning and don't relax in the afternoon. In other words, never take it easy. That's what the Gemara says. Right? La'erev al tanach yadecha. So the Gemara has different explanations of what that means. One explanation of the Gemara is ha'yilu banim b'yalduso, yisa isha b'yilu banim b'zeknuso. If you have children when you're young, you should have Speak slower. Okay. If you have children when you're young, you should try to have children in your older age as well. That's one explanation. Another explanation in the Gemara is if you have students when you're young, you should try to have students when you're older as well. In other words, don't retire. Baruch Hashem, in this yeshiva, we see this. There's a Rebbe here, Rebbe Gershon Yankelevich. He's a Rebbe in the yeshiva. I looked at his Wikipedia page last week. I saw he was born in 1909. Right? And he's still saying Shira every day. That's the way it should be. That should happen to all of us. Right? That at the age of Kein Yirbu, right, you're still continuing to say Shira. That's what the Gemara says. La'erev al tanach yadecha, don't give up in your later years. Continue to be active, to be involved, to try to have as many students as possible. And the Gemara, in that context, tells a story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. Of the 24,000 students, they all die, but then he went and he got 5 new students. So the impression that you get is that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who's one of these 5 new students, was not one of the old students, he's a new student. Right? So the statement in the Pre-Eitz Chaim that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that we celebrate Lag BaOmer because Reb Shimon Bar Yochai did not die and he was supposed to die with the other students of Rabbi Akiva does not seem to be correct, because apparently Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was not a student of Rabbi Akiva at that time. So, why is it that we celebrate Lag BaOmer if we just burst the bubble and we said that Lag BaOmer is not the Yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? I should point out, by the way, I was planning on saying this at the very beginning of this year, it's not Lag BaOmer might not be the Yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it's actually though the Yahrzeit of my grandfather's name William Katz. He was a student here in the yeshiva in the 1920s. He was a classmate of Rabbi Joseph Lookstein, so I promised my mother I'd say that today's my grandfather's Yahrzeit. Fine. So now so why is it that we celebrate Lag BaOmer if Reb Shimon Bar Yochai did not die? So look in the Me'iri here. The Me'iri in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. It's number 2. Source number 2. The Me'iri writes, first he paraphrases the Gemara, right? That if you learn Torah when you're young, learn Torah when you're old, etc. You have students when you're young, you have students when you're old. And they tell the story of Rabbi Akiva, the story that we mentioned, you could pick up from the third line. Amra Rabbi Akiva, Shishnei Masar Elav Zugos Talmidim Hayulo. He had 12,000 pairs of students, and they all died at one time of year. Al Shalom Nahagu Kavod Zelazeh. They all died because they didn't show proper respect for each other. V'haya olam shamein below Torah, and the world was desolate without Torah. Ad shebalo etza rabotenu shebed arom, until he went to the south. V'shana lehem, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemuel. He goes to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, by the way, standard Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, but you get an impression of he's a student after they all died. The Haim Haim Ha'amidu as Hasha'a, and these students are the ones who maintain the day. The Talmidim Eilu Huskar Kancha Kula Mesu Pesach Adatzeres. The Gemara says that they died between Pesach and Shavuos. The simple meaning of the Gemara, by the way, is that they died the entire time between Pesach and Shavuos. Now the Mi'iri adds, Mi'iri died in the year 1316. We don't know exactly when he was born. When he was born, he was a little kid. No one knew that he would be the Mi'iri. So we don't really know when he was born, but we know that he died in 1316. The Mi'iri writes, slower, V'kabola v'yad ha-ga'onim. We have a tradition from the Gaonim. Gaonim means from earlier sages. We have a tradition, Shebiyom Lag Ba'omer Paska HaMisa, that on the day of Lag Ba'omer, the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped. They didn't die. V'nohagim Mishum Kach, and based on that, we have a practice not to fast on Lag Ba'omer, and we have a practice because of that not to get married from Pesach until Lag Ba'omer. End of discussion in Mi'iri. In other words, the Mi'iri is telling us that the reason for rejoicing on Lag Ba'Omer is because the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Now, this explanation is a little bit problematic also. The students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Why? So, I would contend that the reason they stopped dying is because they all died already. No? That doesn't seem like much of a reason to rejoice. Woohoo! Right? It's not a reason to rejoice. Right? They're all dead, so that's why they're not dying, right? I think that's... Right? So, I'm not exactly sure what the Gemara means. The Vilna Gaon quotes a source in the Gemara in Tainus that they celebrate Tu B'Av. They celebrate the 15th day of Av because that's the day that the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. But over there, more people should have died and they just stopped. Over here, the fact that they stopped doesn't seem to be a reason to celebrate. So the Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting comment. The Aruch HaShulchan has a comment that, again, I'm not sure the Mi'iri means this, but if you look in source 5, the Aruch HaShulchan, the underlined three words, he writes, "Achar kach chazru umesu." And then they resume dying. In other words, there's one brief day off, and that's why we celebrate today. Now, in the context, you understand why it's kind of, sort of, a little bit of a simcha. But it's not much of a simcha. They died before and they die after and they just have one day off. Right? That's not much of a reason, I would say, to... it's not much of a reason to rejoice. But the basic reason, I think, to rejoice on Lag Ba'Omer is probably a combination of the factors. In other words, if they stopped dying on Lag Ba'Omer, and maybe that was the day that Rabbi Akiva traveled and established his five new students, and one of those is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so we're celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as a continuation of that Rabbi Akiva line, but we're celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai not because he died, but because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai began to receive Torah from Rabbi Akiva on this day. I think that's the best explanation, again, but we don't have any proof to combine these two reasons, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai does factor into the story. Now, we mentioned earlier that at the original time period of Lag Ba'Omer, there were people who were very upset, right? The Beis Yosef, in his generation, and many people are writing that, you know, you shouldn't have this whole festivity in Meiron. It's just wrong. And people have been upset with the festivities going on in Meiron, I think ever since they began, no? Many rabbis have always been saying, you know what, you shouldn't go to Meiron, it's a terrible thing. We'll discuss that the Chassam Sofer and the Shaul Omeshev, two of the great poskim in the 18th century, were 18th, 19th century, were opposed to going to Meiron. To this very day, right, there are tons of Eged buses that travel to Meiron in honor of Lag Ba'Omer. Everyone goes. And Chacham Ovadi Yosef has been speaking about this every year. He says you shouldn't go to Meiron on Lag Ba'Omer. It's a terrible thing. First of all, Meiron is like, it's nuts. It's absolutely crazy on Lag BaOmer. People are drinking. There's like some minhag they quote from some Hasidish Rebbe that it's a segula to donate chai rotol of mashke, 18 certain Polish measures. Right? So people go to Meiron and they drink, and there are people who shecht animals, and everyone eats, and you don't know if the guy who shechts knows how to shecht, you don't know if he knows how to kasher meat, you don't know anything, and Chacham Ovadia is saying that you're eating treif, and the men and the women are mixing inappropriately. Meiron is just nuts on Lag BaOmer. So many people have been upset with going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer, but it's a type of thing that since the very beginning people have been upset about, but they continue to do. It is the way it is. Not only is it in Meiron today, but now in many communities, even in America, there are many communities that have bonfires on Lag BaOmer and they try to celebrate. Someone asked me in my shul last night, how come my shul doesn't have a Lag BaOmer bonfire? So my response was, I don't want to burn the place down. This isn't our tradition. So the guy says, you know, I'm going to have to go to Muncie for him. I'm like, okay, have fun. it doesn't like bother me so much that, you know, you have to go to Muncie for a bonfire. But generally speaking, it was not so prevalent to have bonfires on Lag BaOmer when I was growing up. Now it's becoming more and more common. I think there's like a general homogenization of Yiddishkeit, that instead of having local practices that certain people do this, other people do that, now everything becomes the same. So Hasidim maybe have made bonfires, right? But if you're not Hasidish, you live in Washington Heights, so I don't know if like you should make bonfires, but it's becoming more and more standard as time goes on. So many poskim had opposition to Lag BaOmer, and there are different reasons that are given to oppose it. The Shoal Meshev is Rabbi Yosef Shoal Nathanson. He was the Rav in Lvov in the 1840s, 1850s. Rabbi Yosef Shoal Nathanson and his tshuvas doesn't like the practice of what goes on in Meiron on Lag BaOmer. He says because it's Baal Tashvis. You see, I've never been there, but apparently what they do is that people like start throwing clothing and throwing expensive stuff in the fire, and they say this is all in honor of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and they're burning stuff, and they're destroying stuff, and they're, right? So, and destruction, wanton destruction, is an isser of Baal Tashvis, right? So therefore, Reb Yosef Shoal Nathanson says, don't do it. Don't go to Meiron and burn stuff. It's a terrible thing because it's a violation of the prohibition to destroy. So there's a whole literature about this. Is the prohibition about Tashkas, is that a Torah prohibition? Well, yeah. It says in the Torah, when you encamp against the city, don't destroy the trees. But maybe the Torah prohibition is only Lo Tashkas Es Eitzah. Maybe the prohibition of the Torah is only don't destroy trees. Perhaps there's no prohibition Min HaTorah, there's no Torah prohibition of Baal Tashkas about destroying other stuff besides trees. There's a huge literature about this within the position of the Rambam, but most assume that there is a prohibition of Baal Tashkas, a Torah prohibition, even though it's not a tree that you're destroying. So, what's the heter for what goes on in Meiron? So some suggest there's a rush at the beginning of Maseches Midos. Maseches Midos tells us about how they had a shomrim. They had people whose job was to guard the Beis HaMikdash. And the shomrim for the Beis HaMikdash had to stay awake. So there are people who would walk around at night, and if they'd see you falling asleep, they would light your clothing on fire. That's what they would do. And that, apparently it wakes you up. It's a known trick. Apparently it actually works. Right? So, fine. That's what it says in Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis of Maseches Midos. So the Rosh over there asks, what permission do you have to burn some guy's clothing? Right? Isn't that Baal Tashkas? So the Rosh answers, Heath, it's not Baal Tashkas, because Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Because the Bezdin can declare that it's Hefker, and therefore they are declaring that it's ownerless, and the prohibition of Baal Tashkas doesn't apply to ownerless items. This is questionable. Baal Tashkas probably means don't destroy, no? The reason for Baal Tashkas is not to do wanton destruction, because that creates midos ra'os in a person. If I destroy stuff for no reason, right, it's not because I'm stealing from you, but because it's bad for me. It's not bad for you, it's bad for me. Because we don't want people to develop the trait of destroyers, right? That's not a good midah. So that is probably the reason for Baal Tashbis. So we don't fully understand the rush, the Dvar Avram, as a whole tshuva, trying to reinterpret the rush. We don't really understand the rush. Some suggest, I find this a little bit humorous, that maybe the practice is based on as follows. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, says that Sarfin al Hamalachim, when the kings die, you burn their items. And that's a sign of respect for the king. So they say, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he's like a king. So we're burning stuff as a sign of respect for Shimon Bar Yochai, because he's like Torah king. I don't know. It doesn't resonate so much with me, but that is one suggestion that is given. So, one problem with the Lag BaOmer, besides the fact that they shecht meat in ways that might, the way Lag BaOmer is observed, is that they shecht meat in ways that might not be proper, there's another problem in that they violate Baal Tashbis, that stuff is thrown into the fire improperly. The Chassam Sofer, however, note in source number 7, we'll just go through source 7. The Chassam Sofer has a much more fundamental problem. See, the Chassam Sofer argues that it's forbidden to have a yontiv called Lag BaOmer altogether. We believe that the Torah is perfect. We believe that you can't add on to the Torah anything. Right? It says in the Torah, Lo Tosef Olav, that you can't add on a 614th mitzvah. If anyone tries to add on the 614th mitzvah, I remember one year, actually the year that I graduated college, so there was a speaker at commencement who said how even though he read an article in the commentator that some of our students don't always go to morning classes, but that's not such a problem because they do other mitzvahs, and there's a 614th mitzvah of being a committed Jew to the State of Israel. Now, it is not the 614th mitzvah to be committed to the State of Israel. That's one of the 613. But the fact is, this is the speech they gave. I remember like, well, the rebbeim after was like going, what on earth? How can you have this guy get up at graduation and say, apikorsis? Right? To say there's a 614th mitzvah is absolutely wrong. We believe that God gave us 613, lo tosef alav, that we don't add on. If you add a mitzvah on, that is bad. That is a prohibition. So the Chassam Sofer, based on this issue, says that he would oppose the observance of Lag BaOmer entirely. Let's read from the top. Amnam, yadati ki shamati, I've heard, sha'achshav achshadari mimerchak yavo'u yidrushus Hashem bi'irah kodesh tzfat b'yom Lag BaOmer b'hilula derashbi. I've heard that people go on Lag BaOmer to this hilula of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, v'im ki kol kavanatam l'shem shamayim, despite the fact that their entire intention is l'shem shamayim and secharam rav b'li safek, and they obviously get huge amounts of reward, al derech v'digulo alai or v'diliko l'neiros alai ahava. In other words, what he's referring to is like Tosfos writes in Daf Chaf Beis in Avodah Zarah. Over there, the Gemara speaks about how a Bal Korei, who instead of reading the word aharon, reads the word haron. Right? That's wrong. Right? It's Aharon, not Haran. The Baal Kori gets the word wrong. So Tosis quotes that still V'digulo alai ahava, that God loves him because he's intending on doing the right thing. He's trying to do it right. So that doesn't mean that the congregation fulfills the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah that way. It just means that God loves you because you're trying to do the right thing. So the Chassam Sofer is saying that people go to Meiron, or to Tzfat, he calls it, on Lag BaOmer, and their intention is L'shem Shamayim, and they'll get reward, like Tosa says, that even when you're doing something that's technically wrong, you get reward. Aval. Now the bold part. Mitam ze ba'atzmo ha'yisi ani min ha'prushim, k'ben jutai, shelo etz tarech li'os yoshev sham, u'misham min hagam mifnehem. For this reason alone, he says, I would separate myself. I wouldn't do it. Because I don't want to go there and ask them to change their practice. And I don't want to do what they're doing. Meaning to say, the Pri Chadash in, he gives you the source, the Pri Chadash says that it's prohibited to add additional Yomim Tovim to the Jewish calendar. The reason why it's forbidden to add additional Yom Tov to the Jewish calendar is because there used to be a text called Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis is the single earliest source we have of Tanayim. Megillas Tanis is a list of all of the Yomim Tovim that used to exist Bizman Beis HaMikdash. On such and such day a miracle happened and they did such and such. Such and such day another miracle. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Megillas Tanis is batal. Megillas Tanis no longer applies. The fast days or the holidays that are found in Megillas Tanis don't apply anymore. Therefore, says the Pri Chadash, Kamaisa Bato, Achni Yasa L'Mosifin, if the first days, those original mini Yomim Tovim, are batal, are null and void, so we can't add additional Yomim Tovim. That's what the Pri Chadash says. And then if you'll skip to the next, to the next part of the bold, he says, to establish a yontiv when there's no miracle, certainly, and there's no hint to it in any legitimate source, like the yontiv Lag BaOmer, certainly I, Chassam Sofer, do not like it. So the Chassam Sofer here in this tshuva, this is a tshuva in Yerideya Simin, Reish Lamed Gimel, the Chassam Sofer says, Lag BaOmer is forbidden to celebrate. Now yes, you can make a yontiv in the sense that you don't say Tachanon. That doesn't bother the Chassam Sofer. But to make it a genuine festive occasion, and to go to Meiron, and to have fires, and to dance, and to sing, and to make a whole party, that is forbidden, because it's establishing a new yontiv, and we don't do that. Now, you're probably thinking, what? We just had the entire month of Iyar. The entire month of Iyar, right, is full of new Yomim Tovim, correct? We have Yom Ha'atzma'ut, we have Yom HaShoah, we have Yom HaZikaron, we have Yom Yerushalayim coming up. Right? It's full of new Yomim Tovim. What on earth is going on here? So we have to just give a little bit of a background. The last source that I give you is a Magen Avram in Simin, Tuf Resh Peivav. The Magen Avram says, source 9, the last source. The Magen Avraham writes that Yecholim b'nei ha'ir l'takim b'haskama u'b'cheirim aleihem, that people in the community can all agree and to establish a cheirim, to establish it's like a vow, v'ahaboy ma'achareyim, that is binding on future generations, la'asos purim b'yom shena'ase bones. He calls it true of Maram al-Shaker. Maram al-Shaker says that you can establish a new yontiv. If a miracle happens, make a yontiv. No? That's what Maram al-Shaker says. The Magen Avraham quotes the Maram al-Shaker, but the Pri Chadash disagrees with the Magen Avraham, and the Pri Chadash says you can't, based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that if Megillas Tainis is batal, you can't make additional Yomim Tovim. That's the Pri Chadash's argument. Now, there's a whole literature about this, because if you make a new Yontiv, and that yontiv ends up coinciding with Tisha B'Av that's Nidche. So do you fast? Let's say a year that Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and then it's postponed to Sunday. I think this past year was that. Right? Tisha B'Av is postponed to Sunday. So if the yontiv is a real yontiv, you would not fast a complete day on Tisha B'Av she Nidche. That's what Maharam al-Shaker assumes. The Pri Chadash disagrees. But they're arguing fundamentally, is it permitted to make a new yontiv? So many quote that the Chassam Sofer would be opposed to Yom Ha'atzma'ut because he's opposed to Lag BaOmer. The problem is, and I haven't seen others address this, but I have to admit I didn't look all that hard. There's a book called Likutei Tshuvos Chassam Sofer that deals with all these types of contradictions in the Chassam Sofer. If you're a Hungarian Jew, the Chassam Sofer is like the single most important person ever. Hungarians love the Chassam Sofer, no? The Heilige Chassam Sofer, that's what he's called. So, okay, whatever. But the Chassam Sofer in a second tshuva, which I have here, time is late, in Or Chaim Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph, source 8, the Chassam Sofer over here basically does not agree with the Pri Chadash. Again, you could read it, it's a little bit dense, in terms of reading, but the Chassam Sofer over here argues with the Pri Chadash, and the Chassam Sofer says that even though the Pri Chadash says it's forbidden to make a new Yom Tov, but the Pri Chadash is absolutely wrong. The Pri Chadash's take on the Gemara is incorrect, and everything that's going on in the Pri Chadash, and he agrees basically with the Maharam al Shaker that you are allowed to establish new Yomim Tovim. The amazing thing is that one of the major sources for everything that goes on in the month of Iyar, right, which is Lag BaOmer, right, and there seems to be a contradiction in the Ksuvos of the Chassam Sofer as to whether it's permitted to establish a new Yom Tov or not, whether it would constitute the prohibition of Baal Tosef that we're not supposed to add on. There's a lot more to say about Lag BaOmer, but maybe we'll just take questions for 2 minutes, and we'll start on this side. I wasn't there. I don't know. I don't know any evidence for that. Oh. But someone asked that there have been a few articles that the students of Rabbi Akiva died because they were part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. I don't know. The Gemara says that they died because Lo Nahagu Kavod Zebezeh. The Medrash says they died because Nahagu Tsaros Ayin B'Torasam, that they were cheap and stingy and they didn't teach Torah to others. It doesn't say that they died. Interestingly, actually a source that I wanted to mention but I forgot, there is a book called Arugas Habosim. This is something that Chaim Soloveitchik once screamed at us because no one knew what this book was. The Arugas Habosim is a 4-volume commentary on all the Piyutim. It's written by one of the Rishon in Provence, Reb Avram Ben Azriel. So the Arugas Habosem in Volume 1, page 75, has an entire episode of the stories of Rabbi Akiva, but not about Rabbi Akiva, about the students of Shammai and Hillel. Now, if we put that together with what we said before, that the original practice may have been to go to the graves of Shammai and Hillel in Meron, so there also might be some connection, but I don't know anything about this Bar Kokhba. Question? So again, but the problem is not only fasting, the problem is establishing a Yom Tov in general. Lag BaOmer is a day that they did not fast. There's a massive amount of literature on this question. It's Lag BaOmer. On the other hand, they're going to burn everything. Cute. But that's a real concern, and also they shouldn't be stealing wood from people's backyards. There are serious issues. Yes. Let me take some questions. Again, it's possible, but I don't have evidence for it. It could be. It's possible, but we're already living in a world of conjecture. We don't have genuine proof. Yes. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah there on that Pesach test says that Megillas Tanis is batal, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. Now, that's in the Gemara, so yeah, it's there. Yeah. Correct, but I think that some stuff was opposed to those people who really made a big deal of it, and those people who would go to Meiron and have a bonfire and it's like the happiest day of the year, and they're making it into a genuine Yom Tov, that might be a problem. Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, the Gemara says that even though Megillas Tanis is nullified, but the two exceptions are Chanukah and Purim. Let's take the last question. Yeah, Maxine. There's an established practice of Purim Katan that different communities would have a minor Purim. That practice is all based on the Maharam al Shachar that the Magen Avraham quotes. The Pri Chodesh would oppose that practice. The Pri Chodesh is opposed to establishing days, additional days on the calendar. It's forbidden according to the Pri Chodesh. If you accept the Pri Chodesh as one of the Chsam Sofer's, one of the tshuvas of the Chsam Sofer seems to do, so then it's prohibited to have a Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, and other Chagei Iyar would also be a serious problem. Thank you for coming.